the sauna in Ottawa?
Yeah, it's so fucking hot. Oh my god.
Ridiculous here. It's getting stabby on the way home. In traffic, I could just tell that people are getting, it's getting a bit much.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
Crack open a classy PBR. I've got like, I bought a 2-4 for bachelor party I was at a couple weeks ago and slowly trying to get through there, but this heat's helping. Plus the two conventions are a nice excuse to just drink crap beer and look at how terrible the world is.
Yeah, they're the worst things.
This is the Montreal Bias. Zach and Sean with you here on another hot summer day. The heat dome over all of North America, it seems. Jumping on for a summertime pod. Because basically on the last one, all we did was talk about the PK for Shea Weber trade. So there are other things to discuss.
Yeah.
We figured midsummer.
I guess.
We can get into it a little bit. Still agnostic?
Yeah. I'm still, I'm kind of coming to the realization that I'm gonna switch over at one point, but I'm still fighting it. You know, I just got a new phone this week, so I had to re-upload all the apps and stuff, and obviously I had like the ESPN app and the NHL app and the Sportsnet app and stuff. And like when you log into it, it asks you for your favorite teams, right? And it's like just out of the habit, I clicked on the Habs, and then I was like, oh fuck, I don't know my favorite team anymore. Take them off. That'll show them.
There you go. Fucking take that, Jeff Molson. Sean O'Neill's not going to click your team name on the app. Good luck. Good luck now.
I mean, those metrics.
Speaking of new phone, you're on the phone, obviously, this week. So just to explain our sound quality.
Yeah, and sorry for that, but we figured a podcast on the phone is better than no podcast at all. So
we'll find out over these next 40 minutes.
We'll find out. We can do with what we have here.
Well, as soon as our new sponsor, unaware and likely reluctant sponsor, Wrangler Jeans, the only jeans Carey Price wraps around his sweet ass. As soon as they send us some sweet denim. We'll be sporting that. We'll be feeling good. We'll have a little extra money, and we don't have to be spending on bad denim. Maybe we can get a real studio set up here. Wrangler Jeans, unofficial and reluctant sponsor of the Montreal Bias podcast. They're real comfortable jeans. Also worn by everyone's favorite gunslinger, Brett Favre.
Exactly.
Now,
my favorite athletes of all time.
In the midst of this heat, obviously, you can't just go out there wearing jeans day in, day out. But are you a jorts guy? You ever cut off the jeans and just jorts it?
I'm sure I have, actually.
I don't think I have since
my recollection.
Maybe the mid-90s as a child. Maybe the mid-90s as a child was the last time I jortsed it.
Fair. I may have done that as well, but it's been a while since I've had a good pair of jorts.
And on that note, let's get into the show. And although that may be the best quality we're going to put forth the whole thing. Also, should mention, actually, before we take off.
That was the high point.
Montreal Bias, official podcast of Rabid Habs magazine. I know we're into the stretch of summer here where there's not much hockey news, but continue to check back rabbithabs.com. There's always content coming out here and there when somebody gets an inspired idea, or better yet, rather than check back if there's no updates, you can sign up for the newsletter. And then when we get kind of a bulk of content, it'll just pop up in your inbox and then you'll get it all right there to read. Easier than simply going back on a daily basis. But if you want to check on a daily basis, that's good for our numbers. So I'm not here to complain about that either.
It seems like you get here. You know, this is the absolute dead period. But it'll be here before we know it, especially with the World Cup this year. You know, that'll start occupying some bandwidth, and probably at once time we're gonna be talking about that a little bit. So it'll be here relatively quickly. But yeah, I mean, every year, it's really bang 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 after the season. Like there's the cup, and then the draft is literally 4 days after that, and then there's free agency, and then once free agency quiets down, it's been pretty quiet.
Into baseball. Baseball and politics season. That's what it is for me.
Yeah.
Boston, Jays, we've got that competition going. Now that you're no longer a Habs fan, it occurs to me we don't cheer for any of the same teams anymore.
No, it's true. I'm cheer for rivals, in fact, when it comes to baseball. And different football teams, so yeah.
That's like I don't even know you anymore, man.
That's there.
I'm a diehard Argonauts fan. You love the Red Blacks.
Yeah, I guess we do share a tangential interest in the same CFL team. But
that's tangential might be generous. If the Alouettes are in an important game against, or in an important game, then I'll root for them over the opposition. But my days of Alouettes or even CFL interest is really, it's really behind me now, I feel.
Yeah, it really depends on the season for me. There's some years where I get, you know, pretty into it. And there's other seasons where it just kind of passes me by. This one's been one of the latter, frankly, except for maybe being in a bar once or twice when the game's come on in the background. I haven't watched a second of CFL action this season.
Aren't the Owls a tire fire this year?
Yeah, but they don't look great from what I've gathered. Yeah, especially on offense, they seem to be just whatever the opposite of firing on all cylinders is. But
yeah, well.
No, that good 15-year run with Calvillo, but
yeah,
they haven't
nice
been able
strike.
To find a replacement since. So.
Exactly. One of the things we should talk about that we didn't talk about on the podcast, in the post-PK podcast, was Radulov coming to the Montreal Canadiens. A potential top liner. I think most people agreed the best player in the KHL, but what does that mean for the NHL?
Yeah.
There's all those other issues. So, you outside observer, what are your thoughts on this?
I didn't look like, you know, when it happened, I was really, you know, granted, this was 3 days after the trade, and this was the height of my hatred for Bergevin, but Habs Twitter went nuts when we signed Radulov. Like, you would have thought we just signed the second coming of Mike Bossy or something.
Really? I saw a very different reaction.
Everyone. It seemed that at first, because, you know, the initial reports said that they got him for $8 million or something like that, and then people were snarking on that a little bit, but once the terms of the deal came in, and granted the terms were pretty decent,
yeah,
seemed like everyone's just penciling the guy in for 40 goals, and I don't know. Like, if he hasn't played the NHL for 4 years, yeah, he's putting up good numbers in the KHL, but there's a lot of guys who are average to below average skaters in the NHL who put up good numbers in the KHL, so I'm not 100% convinced that he's going to come over here and just, you know, you throw him on the top line and he's going to click and he's going to score 35.
No,
I will say, I looked back at his numbers. His numbers in Nashville were better than I thought they were.
Yeah, good playoff.
For some reason, my memory of him was, for some reason, my memory of him was a guy who really always had potential and never put up numbers and then bolted to the KHL. But he did have a couple of, like, 25, 30 goal seasons in Nashville. So the talent's there, but, you know, again, this is a team that, listen, every conversation we have for the next year is going to come back to the trade, and this is a team that trades away TK Subban for alleged character concerns, and then 2 days later they're bringing a guy who got kicked off his last team for breaking curfew in the playoffs.
Yeah, but PK was late for 18 practices.
Hit a coach with a stick on the bench.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's how maybe that's the grand plan to take out Terrier. He looks like Bergevin can look like he stays loyal, but then Terrier takes a stick to the head. That's the end of him. Concussion protocol, etc.
my days of believing in a grand master plan from Bergevin are over, but
yeah,
I do like
fair.
That theory.
Yeah, there's a we didn't talk about that either, because I'll admit, and anyone who listens to this podcast probably realizes that I believed in Marc Bergevin, and that has been shaken to say the least at this point. And not, I mean, the PK trade being central and the main reason my confidence in him has been shaken. Everything else you could kind of write off as middle of the way. He's good at little wins,
yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, let's get to this big question. Is there any chance you think that, because obviously we talked about in the last couple seasons, we thought the Habs might be a contender and might be, you know, looking at a window. Is that window still a thing, or did the PK Subban trade close it?
It didn't close it, but it made it a lot smaller. And you know, the team's now worse in the short term and the long term. I do think that for the next year or two, the trade could be a wash. Could be. That's frankly a best case scenario, and the way Weber's numbers are trending wouldn't seem to suggest that. But it's possible that Weber returns to being like a Norris caliber trophy defenseman for the next two seasons, let's say. If that's the case, and even bigger if Carey Price is healthy, then this team is back to being, a borderline Stanley Cup contender. I mean, that's the thing. If Price is healthy next year, the team's going to win.
Yeah.
You know, the team's going to get 100 points, and everyone's going to be praising Bergeron as a genius. Well, Tom, I don't know if that makes him a genius. He has the best player in the world, and the guy wasn't healthy last year, and he's healthy this year. I certainly don't think that's going to be attributable to Shea Weber being an upgrade over PK.
No, but you're going to have the fucking idiots who claim it is.
Yeah, and I'm going to be just, you know, I'm going to have my back up on the wall just as much in the opposite position. Like, the team could win the cup, and I'll still be claiming that, you know, they would have done the same thing with Subban.
Well, if they win the cup, I
think they'll give them credit. Which I don't think is outrageous, frankly.
No, not entirely outrageous, but if they win the cup, I will, I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, but I think, you know, yes, agreed, but frankly, I think the chances of winning the cup in the next couple of years, let alone in the next 4, 5, 6 years, are lower with Weber on the team than they were with Subban on the team.
I agree. That being said, and so let's throw a little devil's advocate into this. Let's say that, or I guess my question is, how much could leadership and character matter? Like, in your mind, I know we both believe in analytics, we both believe in the numbers, but I have seen some people go so far in the opposite direction on the Weber-Subban thing that I do think that maybe we've swung hard the wrong way. When people are still people, and teams are still teams, and character is still character, and you do need leaders, I don't think PK was enough of a distraction to begin with, and yada yada yada, all that shit. But I do kind of feel like we were almost pretending that the intangible Shea Weber is said to bring to the table don't matter anymore, and that seems unfair.
It does, and even the tangible, like, you know, there's this sort of famous Twitter profile a week ago where. And the quote was sort of out of context, but, you know, there's some people in the stats community who are sort of arguing that Shea Weber is an average defenseman.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, that's where I think it goes too far. I just don't believe that.
No, I don't know how anyone can, really. I think things have swung a bit too far in the opposite direction. And I do feel bad for Shea Weber, because the guy's a really good defenseman. He's a borderline future Hall of Famer. He's still, I think, one of the 15 best defensemen in the league. There's a chance he's still one of the 5 best defensemen in the league. So, again, as long as the team got hosed.
And that's the point I'm trying to make.
It is a crappy situation for Weber, because it's really a no-win for him.
Yeah, it really is. Besides delivering that cup.
I mean, I just said, you know, even if the team wins the cup, I still think it's, you know, a draw.
That's ridiculous.
Even in that situation. Yeah, he's in a tough situation, and by all accounts, from everyone, journalists, teammates, opponents, like, they all do say that Weber brings those things to the table, those leadership qualities, and I do think those exist.
What about?
Yeah, I think that's more important than being, you know, young and a good skater and a good possession player. No, but I think there's something there.
What about what Scheifele said a couple weeks back when asked, and he gave an answer, which is rare from an NHLer these days, when asked who he'd rather have on his team based on having played against them. And he said, you know, Shea Weber, just because this guy is bone crushing and you're scared.
Yep. And there's all, you know, Tage sent out that tweet basically the moment Weber got traded saying, like, thank God I don't have to play this guy, you know, 6 times a year anymore.
That has to matter.
Shea Weber can't be a whole lot of fun. What's that?
That kind of stuff matters.
Yeah, it does. And listen, I mean, we've seen Shea Weber. Like, the guy can't be fun to play against. You know, players would probably rather play against Erik Karlsson than Scott Stevens, but Karlsson's still a better defenseman.
Yeah. Wow, you're even complimenting Karlsson.
Yeah, I don't blame... What's that?
So you're even complimenting Karlsson now.
I know, that hurts. It's gotten to the point where I, you know... I don't like doing it, but it's pretty hard not to defend the guy.
I love that this was supposed to be the podcast where we talked about the other stuff besides Weber. So back to Radulov, sticking with the character issues. One of the things you're hearing right now about him is, well, he's more mature. He's in his 30s. He has a kid now. And then I hear some people go, well, that doesn't, you know, how do we know this guy's changed? Here's what I'll say. I'm in my early 30s now. I don't have kids, but I know people who do. Those aging and children, here's what they do. They do change you. You can't argue that one. You get more mature. You're less likely to be out breaking curfew. Now, not for everybody. We don't know with Radulov. But when people present that as an excuse of why he might have matured a bit, I think back to myself at 24, 25. I think back to some of the people I knew who, you know, now have kids at 24, 25 and were much more irresponsible and wilder than I was. And there's a big transformation that happens.
Yeah, I mean, people do change, and you know, we said all along that young, rich guys do stupid shit when they're 24, so I'm not going to hold that against Radulov the rest of his career, but there's still a bit of a cognitive dissonance there when you're throwing PK under the bus after the trade and then bringing in really one of the more notorious sort of bad locker room guys that the NHL's had in a while.
Plus, there's Andrew Shaw.
Yeah, exactly.
So... Shaw, that's Prust, right? That's just Prust 2.0, with a little more talent, maybe even.
I think he's better than Prust.
Contract feels the same. Feels like the same purpose. I'm happy with it. You know, I don't love his past, but maybe he's matured as well.
Purely. And I don't know if he's a horrible guy. He
said the wrong thing.
Made a mistake, but from a purely honest, I do like the Shaw signing.
Yeah, it's not bad. Habs better or worse than last year? Carey Price aside.
Worse.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, Carey Price aside, they're worse.
But you got Galchenyuk a year older. Added Radulov. We don't know what he is, but we know he's better than Semin. I promise you that. I know some people like to compare the two. You don't compare those two. Those are not the same thing, in my opinion.
I think you're right, but is it completely outside the realm of possibility that it kind of turns out the same way?
No, not at all.
Bergeron has done a lot of these, and none of them have set the team back.
They're hedges.
Irrevocably, so it's not much for criticism. He's done a lot of these, you know, Pierre Parenteau, Semin, Radulov. He's done a lot of these, like, big name, low risk, maybe the guy finds the family youth again type contracts. It hasn't happened yet. I would not be 100% shocked if Radulov has 4 goals come Christmas time, and then Therrien benches him for 20 games, and then he skips off to Siberia.
It's more the relationship with Therrien that's concerning.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem to be a great match.
No, not at all. But, you know, only David Dalne and Therrien are a good match, so.
Yeah.
David Dalne, what are we, the 27th of July today? Still a Hab. Probably still will be. Will both Emelin and Dalne still be Habs when the season starts?
When the season starts, yes. When the Las Vegas Black Knights season starts next year, no.
They're just the Knights. They're not the Black Knights, Sean.
Are they?
Yeah, just the Knights. Vegas Knights?
I'm going to call them the Black Knights, anyway. I'm going to call them the Dark Knights.
I would be all
maybe that's that. Maybe that's my place. Maybe that's my new team.
Vegas? Vegas, baby.
Just wait for next year. Give this year. Take this year off. See how it feels to be a hockey agnostic. And then all in on the Vegas bandwagon in 2017.
Jagr joins the squad.
What's that?
I say Jagr joins that squad. You got him to cheer for there.
Oh, my God. Exactly.
So clarify. I'm sure people figure this out.
The number one defenseman becomes my favorite player of all time.
And Subban is tradable. The no movement clause did not come with him. So Nashville could flip him to Vegas when he's late for 18 practices again and worries about his brand over Nashville Predators' brand. That's a difference. In Nashville, I mean, P.K. Subban will be the Nashville Predators' brand.
Yeah, and they don't have a problem with that because they don't have this suffocating 100-year history where, you know, God forbid someone gives the impression that they're bigger than that sacred crest on the front.
Well, we're going to get some comments on this one. Why don't you guys get over it? That's my Marchand of the week right there. People saying get over it. Hey, we were told to get over it for the first podcast we did, which literally came down like 5 days after the trade. So that's the first podcast we did after the trade. I don't know how we're supposed to have moved on by that point. And if you're going to be bothered by us continuing to talk about the loss of PK Subban, never bother listening to this podcast again. And don't listen to it this season. Don't listen to it next season. Don't listen to it 8 years down the road.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get over that trade.
I'm not over the Patrick Watt trade. We mentioned people still bring that up, and rightfully so. It was fucking stupid.
Yep.
This one's not as bad, I don't think. But, you know, I don't think. Mostly because I don't think PK Subban's going to be the greatest defenseman of all time, and Shea Weber is not Jocelyn Sibo.
Yeah, the return was better, and PK didn't win 2 rings.
Yet. Oh, with the Habs, you're saying, right. I stand by yet.
Yeah,
he can come back. Still tradable.
Still tradable. You're not wrong. But...
he's got his Just for Laughs gala coming up. That'll be a weird thing.
Is that still on?
Yeah. I saw him Instagramming about it today, repping his brand.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame him for wanting to show the loved one last time, right?
No, exactly. I wonder if his... I'm betting his Snoop Dogg basketball charity thing is off. They'll take that down in Nashville.
Yeah. I wonder actually.
Competition has changed. One thing I want to talk about on this summer pod was how the hell did Steve Yzerman right the ship from looking like he was losing Stamkos for sure?
Yeah.
Looking like he's losing, what's that little shit's name? It's escaping me at the moment.
Johnson?
Pardon?
Johnson or the other one?
The little shit that quit.
Oh, Drew.
Yeah, thank you. Woof, it's summertime. It's too hot. Kind of hot in these right now.
It is way too hot.
The attic, recording in the attic. The attic's not really as AC as the rest of the house. So yeah, manages to keep those two, despite the fact that he was looking like he was losing them. Tampa, once again, I think going to be my pick to go to the Cup out of the East. And he's the only person who's made any signings this summer. Where every time they announce it, you're like, oh, that's entirely reasonable. What's he doing? What's he do differently from everybody else? It's ridiculous. It's driving me nuts.
I mean, he is really. I think he's the best year in the league, and he's there was a risk there, like you said, that it was all going to go craning off of the cliff. But he played that really well, and he didn't blink. He got he got Hedman for I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head now, but he got Edmund for a deal that's already below market value, and comes, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, that is going to be one of the best deals in the league.
Mm-hmm.
That core that they have on that team is just incredible.
They'll have to lose one of the triplets, but they can deal with that.
Yeah, they'll have to lose one of those guys, and it would behoove them to get rid of the Bishop contract at some point.
Mm-hmm. I think at the midway through the season...
He's only made one mistake. Callahan is the only mistake he's made.
Yeah, it wasn't... I mean, it was a mistake, no doubt, but it was not huge. It's not... it doesn't crush them.
Yeah, it's not the worst contract in the league. It's not, it's a bit of an albatross, but it's not... Obviously, you have to set them back, too far. I mean, they're damn close to making it to the Cup final this year.
He still might find it some sucker to take him.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of suckers.
I think they would have beaten San Jose had they gotten to the final, really.
I kind of agree with that.
And, they took Pittsburgh to 7. Like, I kind of agree with you. I think they're the team to beat in the East this year and kind of for the foreseeable future.
I would agree with that. And I really thought, it just seemed like it might be set to fall apart. And instead they maintained and look locked in for a long run now. Like, the question marks that were around them no longer there. It's a good team. That's a real good team. In a hockey supermarket.
Yeah, if Stamkos can stay healthy, Stamkos and him alone are incredible building blocks and Hart Trophy caliber forward and a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman, and then all the pieces they have around that. Like the secondary cast is probably the best in the league as well, outside of maybe Chicago.
Anybody else besides Tampa where you were impressed by their summer doings?
Yeah, Tampa is the big winner. You know, Detroit always seems like they're going to be in the mix, and then they always make these sort of half-ass sightings around the margin. They were kind of one of the losers for me.
Yep, I would agree.
Yeah, Tampa, I'd say Tampa was the big winner.
I guess Nashville.
What?
I say, I guess Nashville's another big winner.
Yeah. Besides that, I mean, there wasn't as much movement as they thought there would be.
No.
You know, Stamkos was the big piece, and he stayed. I like Okposo and Buffalo. I don't know if it's a franchise, you know, if it changes the trajectory of the franchise. But
no, they're trending up, and that's another one. Yeah, exactly. That's fine. I'm not really. Buffalo will be fine this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're headed in the right direction. It's
no, no doubt.
That, you know, Kane turned out to be, who was critics say, was, but.
Yeah, he definitely did. He is who they thought he was.
No. Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing, because. Usually that stuff gets overplayed, and it's easy for all of us to roll our eyes. And frankly, you know, at the time, a lot of it was unjustified. But, you know, once in a while, these guys get these reputations for a reason, and it's pretty clear that Evander Kane isn't, you know, maybe the best dude in the league.
No, no one named Kane seems to be.
No, certainly not.
And one other big shakeup, and it wasn't in the on-ice world, but in the broadcasting world, Rogers is... reset their broadcast, making some good moves, getting rid of Glenn Healy. Thank fucking God. Won't have to listen to him shit out bullshit that any idiot could say. But there were, you know, I didn't think Strombo shit was the problem with that show by any stretch. But I think it's just interesting that after, you know, after this big move by Rogers in the NHL to kind of steal it away from TSN and put it all in one place. It hasn't worked yet.
No, the first 2 years have been rocky. Surprisingly so. I thought, frankly, you know, I mean, just, there's nothing wrong based on the amount of money that they sunk into that thing. You know, I kind of thought they were going to head it out of the park. And, you know, as much as I always enjoyed CBC's coverage, NTSN's coverage, but I was excited to see what Rogers was going to do with it. You know, I thought, you know, they had the talent and they had the vision and the money to take it into an interesting direction. And, the coverage hasn't been horrible, but it's been flawed. And, you know, ratings are down this year. I don't think that's their fault. I think, listen, there's no Canadian team.
Yeah, that's...
Canadian teams suck this year. There's seven teams and none of them made the playoffs. Like, I think that had more to do with the low ratings than anything. But obviously, a little bit of a mix-up is needed. It's too bad. I've always liked Strombopoulos, both in this role and other roles. But at the same time, I mean, I guess I'm not... But, you know, we're not the target demo, I guess. They want to skew a little bit older, but...
We should be.
We should be the target demo, really.
Yeah.
If they're going to be smart about it, they should be, you know, going after guys who speak to the audience, you know, slightly younger than the 45 to 55-year-old old white dude demo that they always seem to be going after. But
I mean, if your numbers are...
I don't know, maybe, I mean...
If your numbers are bad, I just don't see how bringing Ron McLean back is going to... Oh, fucking everyone's flocking to the set now to see Ron do the same shtick again.
I mean, you say that, but how many times have you seen on Twitter or heard from the old guy at the bar or your uncle, you know, how much better the coverage was 2 years ago before there was all the skinny ties and Strombopoulos and all the hockey hipsters? Like,
that's true. I suppose.
Maybe it'll work. I don't know. I mean, this, you know, I assume that the people making these decisions are much smarter than I am. And
nah, I don't assume
I'm
that.
I'm sure
the
they've looked at the metrics. And,
no, I don't assume any of that.
You know, maybe, you know, maybe they felt that they need to change directions and go after some of the older viewers that they were losing. But I do think there's something to be said about, you know, not trying to capture that past magic. You got to give up the ghost at some point and maybe be a bit more innovative.
Literally give up the ghost when it comes to Don Cherry. Christ, I can't believe he's coming back for another season of blowing horns. That's him now. That'll be him next season. Gets slightly worse every year. Slightly. He barely says words.
Much as I kind of can't stand the guy, you will miss him when he's gone, all right?
No.
No, you won't? I will. And I really don't like the guy at all.
No, I won't give a shit when he's gone.
I've literally seen him every Saturday night since I was 5 years old. So.
Yeah.
At the very least, it will be weird when he's not there.
It'll be weird, sure.
That first Saturday night without Coach's Corner is going to be strange.
I'll go on and...
It'll probably be better.
It'll be weird. Well, it can't be worse. Listen to an old guy who doesn't watch hockey, can't pronounce anyone's name, Babylon, yell at the guy beside him for no reason. That's good fucking broadcasting. That's what you want to see. Maybe we'll see what happens. I think it'll probably be a little just back to the CBC thing that we've seen before. And, you know, I did think a lot of the bells and whistles that they put in there were entirely unnecessary. Like a lot of the stuff that they did.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, the fucking puck thing, like where they took the puck... moved the puck from one place to another in a fictitious, like it wasn't a machine that actually did anything, and pretended like that was something. And the weird stealing from football NFL coverage in the States where they have to stand on something that looks like the ice, and you know, make pretend the play. Like, well, now I understand, since you guys are standing around in suits giving me less than video would. That's fucking valuable. I doubt they'll eliminate that stuff, though, because the decision makers seem to think, well, if we're spending money, we should spend it on big flashy shit. Like, I've never heard anyone's anywhere watching any sport go, man, I love it when they stand out there and look and, you know, pretend that they're doing the thing on a 3D bullshit. It's really about the broadcasters.
No,
you're
exactly
right,
dude. They took it from the NFL owners. I always hate it when they did it in the NFL, and it's frankly, it's even worse when it's Kiprios and Healy standing on the stick, like, showing what they're doing in slow motion. I don't really need that. Like, I want more talk about stats. I want more humor, frankly. I want, you know, some stuff we haven't seen before. I don't need seven old jocks sitting around the table pretending to laugh at puns.
Oh, God. Like, give me Elliot Friedman and Strombo and somebody else who knows what they're talking about. Don't do anything else. And, like, I know Strombo kind of came up certainly shorter than those guys on hockey knowledge sometimes. And quick caveat here. Like, odds are I don't like most broadcasts. I think they're probably really hard to do, and unless you have two people, three people that I absolutely think are great and are really good at broadcasting, and they're not throwing all this shit in there, I'm probably not going to like it. But at the very least, what I did like about the Rogers world was when Strombo would sit down with the stars, and actually he seemed to be the only one who ever got hockey players to say anything other than, put pucks on the net.
Yeah.
Like, he had a real conversation with Sidney Crosby. I didn't even know that was possible. Jonathan Toews, same thing. Like, he got stuff out of those guys.
Yeah, he's a fantastic interviewer. Really, really good interviewer. He's always been.
That's his thing, right?
I think it's also just sort of not a dying beat. You know, it's different than he used to be. Like, it used to be sort of your 1 hour a week where you'd get all this hockey knowledge and you'd get highlights and stuff. Like, I get highlights in real time on my phone. I don't really need to see highlights anymore. And, like, if I want to learn about the sport, I'll listen to podcasts or I'll read stuff online.
That's
like,
really true.
This 1 hour block where they do the around the league thing, I don't really need that anymore. That doesn't really interest me.
No, because the show I would want to watch would actually be like, give me Merrick and give me Strombo and give me, like, Wish and Lozo or some shit. Like, that's what I would watch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'd much rather that than.
Or bring Travis, bring Travis Yost in.
The news, like, I've heard this stuff already. I've read it already. Like, it's not that they're even bad at their job. It's just I know all this stuff. I can get this stuff within 30 seconds. I don't need to wait till 6 o'clock on Saturday night to get it.
What we probably can't get is an interesting interview with Jonathan Toews or Sidney Crosby, where they show a little personality and tell you some truths. And that's what Strombo was able to do.
Yeah.
Well, as long as Ron McLean and Pierre Maguire still have work, we'll know who their cousin was and what 8 small towns they played in and whatnot. That's valuable information for all.
I like Ron. You're too harsh on Ron.
I am not too harsh on Ron. I used to respect Ron a lot, and now he grinds my gears.
Canadian legend.
I like him during the Olympics.
Yeah, me too.
I think he does a good job there. I think he's a good broadcaster. He's a little too hokey for me. But that's my taste. Like, I think he does a good job for the audience, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. I get that.
All right, and from there, I know we said that this was supposed to be not the podcast only about PK Subban and Shea Weber, but it already has been. And now we're going to bring in Deeks, you may remember from the trip to Buffalo earlier this season and the epic Greek breakfast.
Greek Palace.
Greek Buffalo. Palace. Recommended. Now, Paul's on here to talk about why it's essentially my fault slash his own fault, but mainly me, I guess.
I think it's your fault.
that Subban got traded. So we'll go back to Buffalo. I'll set it up quickly. We'll go back to Buffalo. We talked about it on the podcast last time you were on, the drinking game we forced you into to earn your Habs fandom, because Paul's slowly becoming a Habs fan. And we'll continue to document that. And yeah. So as we're doing this, you get a PK Subban t-shirt, jersey. That we purchased that for you for drinking all this.
That's we drank a lot of Yuengling Amber, yeah. Which was the kicker. I think Yuengling, not to get on a tangent, but if you're going to drink a lot of a particular type of alcohol, Yuengling Amber is not the one. But in doing so, I was awarded a PK Subban, a great t-shirt jersey. From the, I believe it was from the Winter Classic. Yeah. It was great. It was a great gift. However,
but at that moment, a fear overcame you.
Yeah, and we had talked about this before,
probably.
Which is why, which bolsters my argument that this is your fault. Mm. I, for as long as I can remember, for the history of jerseys in my life. Mm-hmm. Anytime I purchase a jersey of a, it doesn't even need to be a team I particularly support. It could just be a player I really like. Regardless, anytime that player immediately gets traded, decides to quit the sport prematurely, or gets horribly injured, it's just. That's what happens.
Let's rapid fire your history.
I don't even know if I can do them all, but we'll
let's go to the highlights.
The highlights. Doug Gilmore, as many of you may know and may be upset with, I grew up in Toronto, outside of Toronto, so I was naturally a Leafs fan, and I think that's part of the intrigue to my transition is how much I've hated the. Growing up under this Leafs era. But it, nevertheless, when the last time the Leafs were good would have been around the Doug Gilmore, Wendell Clark era, when they lost to the Kings. And I was in grade five. At that time, you couldn't even just go to the store and buy a jersey with a name on it. You had to pay extra for someone special to put it on for you. It was a custom job, and those jerseys would cost you like $200 when I was in grade five, which is, I don't want to age myself, but some time ago. As you know, considering we've been talking about when Doug Gilmore was in the, it lost to Wayne Gretzky. Anyways, regardless, I saved up all my money, all my birthday money, my Christmas money, and I got myself a Gilmore jersey. The first day I get it, first of all, I ordered it maybe one size too small. It was my fault. I would have had to wait longer for the larger size, and I just didn't go for it.
That's got nothing to do with the curse, though.
It got nothing to do with the curse. But I ordered the jersey. The first day I wear it to school, I'm so happy about it. That day, the Leafs announced that they've traded Doug Gilmore. I'll fast forward. I feel like I need to deal with this now just to get it out of the way, but I feel like this is a continuation of the curse, but we'll deal with it now because I'm talking about Doug Gilmore. Years later, Doug Gilmore comes back. You may remember after, I think, a stint with the Habs.
Fantastic stint. It was great.
He comes back to Toronto at the twilight of his career, and I take back out this grade five jersey. And for those of you who've ever seen me, I've grown significantly since grade five.
I don't know who of our listeners have seen you, but
it was a size too small then, so it was very small. And I wear it, nonetheless. I wear it, and we go. out to the bar, I think, to watch the game. And first shift, Gilmore blows his ACL, I think it is. And I don't think he played hockey after that. I could be wrong. He might have played for, like, I don't know, the Islanders or something. But anyways, that's Doug Gilmore. The second probably biggest highlight is I'm a big football fan. I enjoy my NFL football. And there was a point where I just, along with many other people, I just really liked Ricky Williams. I didn't particularly like the Dolphins, weren't really someone I would cheer for, but I just liked watching Ricky Williams. So I went out and bought myself a Ricky Williams jersey, like you did. They had just put the franchise tag on him. He was in the prime of his career. He had set the rushing record, I think, the year before. And he decides to retire.
To smoke weed
and practice yoga in Australia.
Mostly to smoke weed.
Mostly. He lived in a tent. He lost some... If you haven't seen it was a 30. Was it a 30, 30 for 30? Yeah.
Run, Ricky, run. It's the 30 for 30.
It's a great one. If you haven't seen it, it's worth it, because he didn't just take some time out to smoke some weed. He lost a shit ton of money in that process. So, anyways, that happened. That was a jersey. The others that...
the third I had was P.K. Subban.
Yeah, P.K. Well,
you got, yeah. That, you immediately said you fucked up. He's going to get traded. We laughed at you.
It wasn't that long after.
4 months later. Yeah. It's close enough. How many times did you wear the shirt?
Once.
Ouch.
I haven't even told you this yet, but the listeners may know I'm in the midst of, they would not know this, but I'm in the midst of moving.
You are.
And I've been packing up my home this week, and I actually donated it to Goodwill.
What?
I had to.
Ouch. Yes.
You can't wear that anymore.
That's a dark ending to this bit. It's a dark ending. Thanks for being on, Paul.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Son of a bitch. All right, it's getting hot under these headphones. You got anything else you want to talk about before we dip back out for the summer? We are going to do one more, at least, before we come back. But it'll be on, like, the weekend of August 20th. We're going to do a Tragically Hip podcast. Kind of pay tribute to that great Canadian band with very great hockey ties. And we both just mostly, I think, want to talk about the Hip and all that they mean on a podcast. So we'll come back and we'll do that at some point in the summer. But likely nothing else unless the Canadians do something huge. Maybe fire Michelle Therrien. That'd be
fair. I'd say whatever for BKC then. Yeah.
Just the reverse. It's on. Yeah, any
I'm sorry.
Any last summer words before we melt?
No, I think that's good. I'm still mourning. I'm still a hockey widow. The shock hasn't worn off.
No.
But yeah, there we are.
What about, you got any summer tunes you want to recommend to the kids? What are you listening to?
That's a good question. This isn't really a new album, but it's been on, like, nonstop rotation for a year now. But if you're not listening to Jason Isbell, I would highly recommend that you do so.
That's a good recommendation.
Yeah.
What about summer movies? You see Ghostbusters?
I have not seen Ghostbusters.
It's good.
I did finally see Mad Max. So.
Finally! Whoa! Look who's up on the movies.
Just a year behind.
So yeah. We'll talk about Ghostbusters next July. That'll be good.
Have you seen it?
Of course I saw it. I saw it the day it came out. Yeah. Technically the day before it came out. Love me some Ghostbusters. And? It's great. It's funny. The girls are great. It gives, as like a diehard Ghostbusters fanboy, so many fantastic nods to the original. I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah. Is it perfect? No. There's some shit that I wouldn't have put in there, but... With all the pressures that were on with making a Ghostbusters movie, really delivered. I enjoyed it, and I'll go see it again, actually. I had a fun time.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah, I got to, what do I have? Well,
yeah, join us in July of 2017 when I get around watching.
That's true. I got, what do I get to recommend? I'm trying to think of what music. Oh, Chance the Rapper. That's been my album all summer long. Yeah, that's a good summer album, too.
Cool.
That's a really fun one. Teens of Denial. That's a Car Seat Headrest album that I got into. Kill's got a new album. That's a good one. It's called Ash and Ice, and a country album, actually. Margot Price, Midwest Farmer's Daughter. That's what I've been listening to so far this summer. Malibu, Anderson .Paak. Put those on. Go see Ghostbusters. I want to see the Jason Bourne. It's my summer entertainment recommendations.
Jason Bourne, fuck yeah. The title of this podcast.
Might as well be. All right, we'll get out of here. Probably next back to talk about the hip. Thanks for listening. Check out rabbithabs.com, as we always recommend. And if you don't want to be checking back for that fresh content all the time, you can just sign up for the newsletter. Of course, go like us on Facebook. Need to mention we did move our Facebook page due to some weirdness. But simply search Rabbit Habs. You'll find us on Facebook as well. Twitter, at the Montreal Biases podcast, at Rabbit Habs is the Twitter handle. So, of course, you can find out when we publish new stuff there as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.